ShareCare, helping you find experts, the top minds in health and medicine. It's ShareCare Radio with Dr. Daria Long Gillespie on RadioMD.com.
Hi, it's Dr. Daria on ShareCare Radio. For this month's Healthy Aging segment, I've invited gastroenterologist Dr. Mark Sonnenschein of Atlanta Gastroenterology Associates to talk to us about colon cancer. Now, he is a person that I send my friends and family to whenever they need a gastroenterologist, so I can vouch for him. And Mark, we're so glad to have you on the show.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here and to be able to talk a little bit about how we can reduce the rates of colon cancer in this country.
Perfect. We definitely need to. So true. First off, let's start with, what are the signs of colon cancer?
Sure. Well, one of the first major signs is often just a change in bowel habits. Patients will come in a little bit more constipated, not moving their bowels like they typically would. And then it's usually associated with rectal bleeding, where they're having blood from their bowels. And a lot of people will write off the bleeding as just hemorrhoids, which is common, but I think we are always concerned about patients who are having rectal bleeding and a change in bowel habits that may be a sign of something more ominous than just simple hemorrhoids that a lot of people deal with.
So if somebody's starting to have those, should they go see their primary care doctor? What are their signs that they need to get in to see a gastroenterologist?
Well, I think having rectal bleeding would make me want to see a patient, so I think a gastroenterologist is a good step. I would never argue with someone seeing a primary care physician if they'd had just sort of one episode that was just going to be monitored for another one and ask various other questions like a family history, you know, using their age as a good determinant. A 20-year-old, the likelihood of having a rectal cancer is not zero, but it's much lower. And so one episode of rectal bleeding, I think a primary care doctor could really sort of screen as to whether they need to be seen by a gastroenterologist. But again, I wouldn't argue with a gastroenterologist making that evaluation either.
Okay. It's good to know, kind of some good rules of thumb. Now, you mentioned age and the importance of that. At what age do people need to start getting colonoscopies?
So there are various guidelines, but the guidelines that most gastroenterologists follow recommend that all Caucasians start to be screened for colon cancer at age 50 and African Americans at age 45, just because African Americans have a slightly higher risk of more aggressive polyps and tumors than Caucasians. And that's really in the setting of not having symptoms and just sort of being real healthy just for a screening test. Now, patients who have a family history, which clearly increases the risk of developing colon cancer, should be seen at least 10 years prior to when a family member had a diagnosis of colon cancer. So if a family member had a colon cancer at age 45, then that person should really be seen by a gastroenterologist at age 35 to have a discussion about screening for them.
All right. That's really important to know. Now, is there a cutoff age at which, you know, if your family had somebody had colon cancer at 85, it's less likely that it was a hereditary thing, or does it really not matter? If you have somebody with family history of it, it's important.
So I think if you have a family history, it just means that you have to be screened more closely. So if you had a family member, a mother or a father who had colon cancer at 85, I think it puts you at a higher risk of having it. So I don't think you need to start at necessarily 30 or 40, I think starting at age 50 is probably appropriate, but you're going to be screened more frequently. And so I think interval of screening is very important as well. So,
what is that interval?
Yeah,
I'm sorry,
so
go ahead.
Normal interval is going to be every 10 years for someone who has had a normal colonoscopy without a family history. So an average risk individual who's had a normal colonoscopy in the setting of being really cleaned out and having a good prep, which is critical, which should be every 10 years. If you have a family history, whether you have a mom or dad at 85 or 95 that had colon cancer, there is an increased risk. And so the recommendations would be to have a colonoscopy every 5 years because you are at higher risk. But it doesn't necessarily mean you need to start at age 30 or 40. So I think the interval, and then the other thing is having a good prep for your colonoscopy is probably the most important part besides just getting screened, because you want the doctor to get a thorough evaluation. And so the cleaner your colon is, the better evaluation they can get for small, subtle polyps or lesions that over time could grow into cancer.
So that's really important to know, because I know that most people hate the prep for colonoscopy, but you're saying don't just write it off. Really, you have to do it well.
Yeah, absolutely. So the prep, besides getting screened, I think the prep is the most important part of the colonoscopy, because the cleaner you are, the better doctors can find smaller lesions. And so a small lesion that maybe is missed in just a fair prep, and the doctor says, oh, I don't find anything, come back in 10 years. Well, if they found it, the recommendation would have been come back sooner because they're at a higher risk of polyps. So not only is the interval shortened by finding such polyps, they're removed. And so I think a clean prep is critical. And that typically entails the day before having a clear liquid diet, so eating Jell-O, beef broth, chicken broth, those types of things, and then taking the prep, whichever is prescribed, to really clean out the colon is really, in my opinion, besides getting screened, the most important part for the patient. And patients hate the preps. Uh-huh. They've gotten much, much better than they have over the years. But again, a prep, one night of a prep where you're miserable is way better than the alternative, which is missing a small polyp that could over time turn into cancer. So I think it's a good investment in one's future.
That's fascinating. So the point here is that the patients can actually impact the accuracy of their colonoscopy by how well they prep.
Oh, absolutely.
That's a huge takeaway. Okay. Are there other tests that you recommend people getting for colon cancer screening?
So not at this time. I mean, there are other tests, and I think, they're the future of colon cancer, I think, is colon cancer screening is evolving, where we're going to, in the future, I think, be able to test stool for different DNA markers. But I do not think that there are any tests on the market right now that really outperform a colonoscopy. And colonoscopies have gotten to the point where they are easy for people to get to, meaning the access to a colonoscopy is easy. In consideration to all other screening tests, the cost is really not so significant, in the sense that if you're only doing it every 5 or 10 years, it is definitely cost effective. And so I don't think that there are any good tests on the market short of a colonoscopy for screening for colon cancer. I think in the future we may have that, but clearly right now I do not think it's there.
But not yet. Right now, for now, the money is on the colon cancer. I mean, on the colonoscopy to prevent cancer. Okay, now moving on to prevention, what about some lifestyle factors? How can they affect your risk of colon cancer?
So I think eating a well-balanced diet is just good for many different factors, whether it be colon cancer prevention, cardiovascular. So eating a well-balanced diet, high in fiber, where you're moving your bowels on a daily basis. I don't think that there are great studies to say everyone has to eat one cup of this or two servings of that. But in general, if we as a society ate better, I think we would reduce our health comorbidities significantly, and colon cancer is included in that. So I'm a big believer in just a well-balanced three good meals a day with your vegetables and meats and those types of things.
What about red meat? Does it impact your risk?
You know, maybe a little bit, but again, I think we only live once, and so I wouldn't say don't eat any red meat and don't eat a lot of red meat. Again, it just goes to a well-balanced diet. So some red meat, some fish with, omega-3s. I think just a well-balanced diet is the most important thing.
So everything in moderation is what you're saying, like the rule
absolutely.
For so many things. Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so true. It's a rule for so many things in life. Now, let's talk about gender. Colon cancer, is it more common in men than women, or does it favor any gender?
No, it really doesn't favor gender. So men and women alike, in the United States, the lifetime risk of developing colon cancer is actually 1 in 20. So it's pretty significant. And we've drastically reduced that risk by screening. And, we do a really good job of screening patients that we can get in touch to and get a hold of. But only 2/3 of people actually get screened. So there is 1/3 of our population who is eligible for screening who does not get screened, which to me is just amazing.
Wow. So yeah, we're missing 1/3 of people. And so you said 5%, 1 in 20 are going to develop colon cancer over the course of their lifetime.
If they're not screened, correct.
That's fascinating. Well, okay. So we learned prep is important, number one thing, lifestyle factors, everything in moderation. Mark, thank you so much. Really appreciate it. This was very, very helpful. For all of our listeners, again, especially if you're in the Atlanta area, you can find more information on Dr. Sonnenschein and his practice at www.atlantagastro.com or on their Facebook page, Atlanta Gastro. This is Dr. Daria, and you're listening to Share Care Radio on Radio MD. Thanks for listening, and stay well.